It is good to be with you today. I'm glad I'm not sick. Amen. Are you glad you're not sick? You know, we talk about a lot of folks who are ill today, and they are, but I'm telling you, I'm glad you're here. God has you here for a reason this day, and I want to share with you from His Word. So if you would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be in that first chapter, and we're going to read from there in just a moment. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Have you noticed all the businesses that have the help wanted sign out front? How many, have you noticed that? Let me see. Man, they're everywhere. Help wanted, help wanted. Nobody can seem to find good help these days. And when they do, a lot of people are getting sick. Have you ever wondered how God gets people signed up for what He's doing? What if God posted a help wanted sign? Maybe that's what I need to do on our sign. Maybe this next week I just need to do that. It says, help wanted, God. How does God do that? How does God get somebody signed up? You know, it seems to me that most people think that when God wants something done, He chooses somebody who has it all together. Isn't that the way it seems to be? He chooses that person, you know that person. They're smart, they're gifted, they're organized, they're just near perfect. And we all have in mind that person that God uses. Now I want you to picture it. I started to try to find a picture of somebody that just looked like they had it all together, and I didn't have it all together, and I couldn't find it. So, you've got in your mind the person that you think God uses. Did you know, or would you be surprised if those very people that you were thinking about are among the very people who think that God's probably going to choose somebody else? That they're not the ones who think they have it all together. They're thinking about somebody else and not themselves. Do you think that's who God calls? The perfect people, the ones who just seem to have everything lined out. Is that who God called on in the Old Testament? Is that who God called on in the New Testament? Is that who God calls on today? Oh, I want you to remember your no's and your yeses today, because you see, God does indeed put a call on people's hearts and people's life. And I believe that He's put one on yours, because every person He calls, He uses. What if God wanted something done today? I think He does. Who would He call on? Would he call on you? Well, let me just ask you, does God still work today? Does He? Do you believe that God still works today? I'm going to tell you, I believe with all my heart. As I look in His Word, He says that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe that God is the same. If God's Word says He is, and if He was working in all those biblical times, He's working today. God is always at work around you. It's just whether or not you notice it. Whether you will have ears to hear Him, eyes to see when He is at work. So if God's going to work today, let me ask you, who is He going to choose? Who is He going to say, I choose you, I need you to be my preacher, my teacher, my helper, my encourager? Whatever it is that God needs. Of all the people in the Bible, who gives you hope that God might use you? Let me give you the short list today. I don't have time to do the long list. Let's start with the very first man in the Bible. I want to share with you, why is it that we find ourselves so alone when we look at ourselves with our issues and that we think, well, God wouldn't use me? Did you realize that the very first man in the Bible was a blame shifter, and he couldn't even resist peer pressure from the one other person that was on the earth? Eve, the very first woman, couldn't control her appetite. Maybe she had the very first eating disorder. I don't know. Cain, the first born, earth-born human being, murdered his brother. Noah, the last righteous man on earth during his time, was a drunkard. Lot had a serious problem with choosing the wrong company to hang out with. Amen. Rebecca was the very first mail-order bride And she was a terrible manipulator. Jacob was a pathological deceiver. That's even what his name means. Rachel was a nomadic kleptomaniac. Moses had a serious problem with his temper. Eli was a hopelessly incapable father. He lost his sons to immorality. He couldn't even use them in the church. Saul, first king of Israel, was a psychotic with manic bursts of both anger, depression, and paranoia. Well, what a list. Are you encouraged yet? David, you know about David. He concealed his adultery with murder. Solomon was a sex addict with over 1,000 sex partners. Guy had a problem. The prophets, even as they spoke for God, time and again we found out that they struggled with impurity, they struggled with depression, and unfaithful spouses and broken families. And we talked last week about Rahab. You remember her? She was the enemy of God's people and a prostitute. Rahab should give you hope. We talked about her, and each of these should give you hope. We talked about that last week, how God took a person who was the enemy of God and one of the lowest people in her society, and God used her to help save his kingdom. Rahab had a messy life. She had a messy, messy life. But here's the wonderful truth, dear people. Don't miss this. God chooses messy people. He chooses you. He chooses me. God chooses messy people. Last week we covered Joshua chapter 2 in depth. But I want you to stand with me as we read God's word. And stay right there in 1 Corinthians. I don't want you to change. But we're going to read that verse that we started with last week about Rahab. We got introduced in chapter 2, verse 1 of Joshua. And it said this. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove, to spy on... We're going to stop here. And so that we don't deal with Elmer Fudd all day. We're just going to ask God to bless the reading of his word. Would you join me? Father, your word is our sword. Sharpen it this morning so that my tongue doesn't fail the message that you want to bring. God, would you also encourage our ears to be hearing and use our ears to plug your truth into our hearts. We pray that you would inhabit your praise, that your word would pierce our hearts and lead us to your truth. Can you agree with me in that to say amen? Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. Now that's where we're starting today. We're going to be talking about Rahab today. Today as we look at Rahab, I want you to notice her label. Now we're going to read 1 Corinthians in just a moment. But I want you to see her label. Notice the label. They went to the house of a harlot named Rahab. You know what? It'd be awful to be titled by your worst quality, wouldn't it? Let's just go through your life and find a sin that you committed somewhere. Gary the thief. Gary the liar. Is that what we want to be known by? Is that how you want to be known? Did the labels in your life ever make you feel disqualified from being used by God? If they didn't, you're just not normal. God's ways, I'm so thankful to say, are not our ways. Amen. He chooses the foolish, the weak, the base, and the despised for his work. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Do you hear what God's word is saying? He intentionally does not choose the mighty and the noble and the incredible so that nobody could say, wow, look what Gary has done. Wow, look what this person has done. He said, the base, the foolish, the ignoble. Listen, our heroine, if you want to call her that, certainly fits this description. Father, would you bless the reading of your word to our hearts, to our ears, to our walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated? Rahab had a label, and we are thankful that God's ways are not our ways. He chooses the foolish, the weak, the base, the despised. Isn't it amazing that God would choose to use this kind of person, these kind of people, people with damaged reputations, people with broken hearts, people with a sinful past? That's the good news, dear people. Listen, this should be an encouraging message to you. It is to me. That God knows us and he still wants to use me. I don't get it. God knows you and he still wants to redeem you. He still wants to use you. Now I'm going to tell you, at the heart of most people is the desire to be chosen. We want to be chosen. As kids, we wanted to make sure, you know, I want to be on a team. And it really doesn't matter which team. Just choose me. Don't let me be sitting out there without a team, right? To sit at the popular table. And if even not the popular table, just to be invited to be able to sit with somebody at lunch. To go on a date. To go to the prom. To be chosen. And you know what? Things really don't change a whole lot as adults, do they? We still hope and want to be chosen. For the job, for the promotion, to be on the team, to be in the club. We just want to be chosen. I've got great news for you people. I've got incredible news for you. God chooses you. You've been chosen. You have been chosen by God. No matter how messy your life has been, no matter how messy your life currently is, God loves you. And God chooses you to be a part of his family. Rahab is a great example of how God chooses to love and to use messy people. She was certainly an unlikely accomplice to God's plan, don't you think? You think she's the one that we would have gone in and chosen? In Joshua chapter 2, verse 11, we saw last week Rahab declare her belief in God. She declared her faith. God chooses every person. It's up to us to receive him and choose him back. You know, God presents himself in a lot of ways. If you go back and read Romans, especially in chapter 8, it says that a testimony has been given to every person in the world. God reveals himself through his majesty, through his creation, through his spirit on this earth. God reveals himself. No one has an excuse. God reveals himself to all. And when we respond as Rahab did, in faith to what she knew, in faith to what she saw, God then calls that person to serve him. He calls them to him. Aren't you glad that God looks at things differently than we do? Thank you, God. Do you remember when God told Samuel? He sent Samuel out because Israel had refused to follow the priests. And they said, we want a king like every other nation. We want a king like all these others. And God sent Samuel out to anoint one of Jesse's sons as king. And he got to the house, and he began to look at all of Jesse's sons. And man, there was one there, the oldest. He was tall. He was handsome. I mean, he had charisma. And I want you to notice what God's word says. Listen, from Samuel chapter 16, verse 6, it says this. It says, Samuel looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointing is before him." He said, "This is the guy. Good looking, charismatic, carries himself well." I mean, he was the dude. But I want you to notice what verse 7 says. It says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the what? The heart. God looks at the heart. So let me tell you. Let me just put this in plain English for you. God looks at your flaws, and he sees who he created you to be, not who you are. He sees who you could be in him, because every person needs God's Holy Spirit to be who they need to be. Every person. Now, wait a minute. I said every person. Not just some, but every individual that has ever been created and ever called by God, which is everybody, and then everybody who responds to God is given his grace and his strength to be who God chose them to be. So let me ask you, when God looks at you, what does God see? Well, that's a tough one, isn't it? When God looks at you, what does he see? Let me tell you what he sees. Stop. Listen. I don't know what you see when you look in the mirror, but there's a lot of folks who don't like to do that. All they do is they see the mistakes and the flaws and the problems. But you know what God sees when he sees you? He sees somebody that he has chosen. He sees somebody that he loves. Somebody that he cares about. God sees messy people. God loves and uses messy people. Now, he sees them. And as I just said, he uses messy people. Did you know that God used Rahab to save those spies? We read about that, talked about it last week. Did you realize that God could have saved those men a million different ways or a thousand different ways? Whatever you want to go through, God could have done it any way he wanted to. I mean, we just look through the past that we've read in the Bible. He could have blinded all the people of Jericho and they could have walked out on their own. He could have given them the power of, I don't know, Superman for all I know. You know, he could have just overwhelmed them with the strength of God and they could have fought their way out without a scratch. He could have caused the animals, the lions, to come out of the hills and come in and surround them and let them walk out. He could have done anything that he wanted to save these two spies and get them back to their people. But you know what God chose to do? Because of her faith, because she in her heart had called out to God and cried out to God, God gave Rahab the opportunity to respond to him. God put them there. God put them in her house. God put them under her jurisdiction, if you will, and she could save them or she could turn them in and be the hero for her nation. But instead, she responded to what God put on her heart. And because she was responding in faith and she believed in God, because she trusted that God was the one true God, God gave her an opportunity to be used by him. That's what God does. Let me just ask you a question. Who of all the people that God uses are messy? All of them. Every single one of them. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I love a commercial that's on TV. I don't even know who it is. I don't care who does the commercial. I just remember the punchlines, because you see, there's this girl and she's picking a team for the pickup basketball game on the park basketball court. She looks out there and she looks at all the people, and there's scrawny kid, scrawny kid, scrawny kid, and Charles Barkley. She goes, "I choose Charles." And all the people go, "Yeah, of course, you know." And Charles is going, "Yeah." He does the little basketball thing, dancing. But anyway, you know, she chooses Charles. I mean, who wouldn't? When God looks down at us and he's picking a team, he doesn't see any professionals. He doesn't see anybody that's 10 times taller than the scrawny kids. He just sees us scrawny kids. And he says, "I'm going to use that scrawny kid and that scrawny kid and that scrawny kid." He even said, "I'm going to use that scrawny kid. The one with the big mouth, the one that has the mouth that looks like it's 10 times too big for his face." God, thank you for choosing the scrawny kids. Not many noble, not many mighty. He chooses the base, he chooses the despised. God looks beyond the flaws. Take notice of Christ's call to the five of the apostles that he called. Just quickly, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 22, and then chapter 9, verse 9. I'm just going to read it to you. "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen." What was their line of work? Do you know how much seminary fishermen usually get? Exactly. "And then he said to them, 'Listen, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" The very next word says, "They immediately left their nets and followed him." Going on from there, he saw two other brothers named James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. And they were in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now, if we skip to chapter 9, verse 9, "As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Now, look at this very next word. "So he arose and followed him." Four fishermen, one tax collector. What was their one qualification? What was the one thing that Christ was looking for? There were no pedigrees. There were no qualifications. But they responded how? Immediately. In faith. Listen, their one qualification was that they were obedient in the moment. Friend, I don't know how much seminary you've had. I don't know how much college hours you've got, or how many degrees you have, or how much Bible study you've had through your life. I dare say that these men had about as much as anybody else in their town. They were fishermen. The question is, when God taps on your heart, how will you respond? And when will you respond? That's why Rahab is mentioned a couple other times in the Bible. How she was obedient with the other heroes of the faith, if you will, but also in the lineage of Jesus Christ. God uses messy people. And God sees messy people. How can he use them if he didn't see them? You know, if I'd have lived in Jericho, I got to ask myself, would I have associated with Rahab? Now, let me just ask you, just be honest with me. Let's just say that I was pastor of Third Baptist Church of Jericho. Would you, as members of my church, wanted me to associate with Rahab? I mean, you know her reputation. Would you have wanted me to be frequenting that place, I might have been a person who stopped by to witness, maybe to say something on the street, but not very likely. Let's just be honest. I probably would not have known Rahab in that capacity, in any capacity. Because she was a messy person. And I probably would have looked at her life and said, no. I don't hang out with that kind of person. But here's the problem. It may be a different kind of messy, but all people are messy. You might have a different kind of messy in your life, but you are still a messy person before God. We are all there. I have to remind myself sometimes, I'm a messy person too. It might be a different kind of messy than somebody else, but before God, I stand God as a messy individual. I am so thankful that God does not do things like I do. I am so thankful that God sees beyond the flaws. He saw Rahab. He saw that she was a believer in Israel's God. He saw that she had heard about him, that she believed in him, and that she was ready to respond. He reached out to her through spies that were sent in. Like I said, he could have delivered them in any one of a number of ways, couldn't he? And it would have been so much more miraculous, I think, you know, if he had decided that he was going to perform a miracle somehow and lift him out in a whirlwind or something. But instead, he did what he almost always does. And he used the people that were at his call. He saw Rahab. Church, we are called to see people too. We are called to reach out to messy people too. After all, you know what God's first commandment is, right? You know what the first and most important commandment is. Say it with me. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second, say it together with me, to what? Love your neighbor as yourself. That second greatest commandment leads us to see people. People. That commandment leads us to do more than just walk past people and judge them. Oh, I see people. You know, you may recall some years later in that very town of Jericho, another person was seen by God. His name was Zacchaeus. Do you remember? Zacchaeus. And Jesus didn't just see him on the road. Zacchaeus climbed a tree. And Jesus had to look beyond the crowds. He had to look off of the ground and up into a tree. And you may recall that Jesus saw the wee little man who climbed up in the sycamore tree. And do you remember what he said? If you don't remember the song, I'm going to be really disappointed in you. He said, Zacchaeus, VBS teachers. Zacchaeus, come down. But before Jesus could say, come down, I'm going to your house, Jesus had to see him. How many people do you miss? How many people do we miss that are struggling with the titles that the world has put on them? They're struggling with the titles that they put on themselves. They can't quite get past. Are we too busy to look in the trees? Are we too busy to look beyond the doors? Folks, to see them, we've got to look for them. There are a lot of people out there that just need to be seen. God sees messy people. One more. God redeems messy people. Did you know that if you are not messy, you cannot be redeemed? Stop and listen. God's word says if you do not see the sin in your life and call your sin sin and agree with him that you're a sinful person, you can't be saved. There are no perfect Christians. There are no perfect people. You must understand that you fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when we get to that place and we actually realize it and we confess to it, God's word says he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God looks for, God sees, God redeems, and God uses messy people. God redeemed Rahab and changed her story. Any amens? I want you to listen to this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this. Listen, this applies to me. This applies to you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he, she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now listen. If anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, what? All things have become new. I like that. There is something about taking that old whiteboard I use with all my messages on through the month. And at the end of the month, as the first day of the month comes along, I take that squirt bottle because it cleans it better. And I clean that old messy whiteboard off and start making notes. There's something satisfying about starting new. And if it can be as simple as that with a whiteboard, with a chalkboard, what an incredible difference to have your life cleaned up. Your life started new. Behold, all things are made new. Rahab was redeemed, and God changed her story. She was promised redemption when God's army came through. And you know what? When God's army came through, she was taken in with the people of God. Why? Because she was faithful in the moment. She had not lived the life. Listen, if you were going to start weighing things out and go, well, how much of her life was good for God? Was she really a good person? No. But God said, if you confess your sin and you call upon me, he is faithful and just to cleanse you from all sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's not about this. It's about this. Let me ask you a question. How does God want to change your story? Do you think God wants to change your story? Yes, he does. What steps of faith do you need to take for that to happen? You want me to tell you? You start with one that says, God, you forgive me of all the past and cleanse me and make me new. I am yours. That's where it begins. Let me ask you another question. Who in your life might need your help to change their story? Do you look around to see who are in the trees, on the street, in the offices? And I know, because you see, I'm just like you. Oh, you might be, oh, Pastor, you're not just like me. Yes, I am. I'm just like you. I need God's help, and I need God's forgiveness, and I need God's strength to do what he calls me to do. Do not let the messes in your life paralyze you. Do not let the sin in your life paralyze you. Believe in God. Respond to God. Follow him. And when you do, God will give you the strength to follow through. Let him work in your life. Friends, it's not about what's happened all these former years. Yes, they can lead to a lot of heartache and difficulty. But what you need to know is what happens from this day forward can begin to change when you will just be obedient in the moment God calls your heart. The author of Hebrews calls us to remember that God used ordinary, messy, weak individuals. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says it this way. He says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Now, what was the very first word of that chapter? Therefore. And I'm going to remind you, whenever we see a therefore in Scripture, we're supposed to look back and see what? Why it's there. See what it's there for. So, by beginning that passage with the word therefore, the author is intentionally calling our attention back to chapter 11, the things he's already written. In other words, the heroes of the faith that we talked a little bit about last week, that great faith chapter, if you will, of the Bible. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab. And then in verse 34 of chapter 11, he adds this. Listen very carefully. He says, "What else can I say? There isn't enough time to tell you about all the rest of them." He said, "I don't have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Their faith," listen, this is the important part, "their faith helped them conquer kingdoms. And because they did right, God made promises to them. They closed the jaws of lions, and they put out raging fires, and they escaped from the swords of their enemies." Listen, although they were what? Wait a minute. Although they were heroes, although they were strong, although they graduated seminary, although they had the best job in town, you know that's not what it says. It says, although they were weak, they were given the strength and power to chase foreign armies away. Because they knew they were weak, they depended on God. What a great variety of people. I mean, we could just start going through and looking at all these different people that are listed there and picking at their lives like sometimes we do our own and others today. Most of them by far were just ordinary, everyday, messy, weak individuals. But listen to this, they were people of faith. They trusted God, and God used them in extraordinary ways to accomplish His will. Why? Because they were obedient in that moment to God. You see, God makes it a habit of doing the impossible through people that are just not that much different from you and me. Not much different from you. Probably not as educated. Probably not as wealthy. Definitely not as good looking. Thank you. Remember I said that. The secret of living a life that makes a difference. Are you listening? The secret of living a life that makes a difference is realizing it's not what you do for yourself, but rather it's what you allow God to do through you. Although we are weak, we are given the strength and the power to chase the foreign enemies away. That's how messy people make a difference today. That's why God doesn't call many noble, many smart, many able, many professionals. What He calls is you. Who He calls is you. Thank you, God, That's a good place to start, isn't it? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, would you help us to get over being paralyzed by our past? And help us, God, to hold on to Jesus. Thank you, God, that you do not work like we do. I know you judge sin. I know that you will not just let it pass by, but God, thank you that you made a way for us to be redeemed, that you see us where we are, that you redeem us, that you use us. Lord, would you help us today not to be lied to anymore by Satan. He wants to blind us to the truth. He throws our old ugly messes up into our face and says, see, you can't serve. You can't do this. You can't do that. But God, I am reminded by your word that says that those who come to you are redeemed and that you use them mightily. All things are made new. God, I need that. With your head bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you this opportunity, friend. Has God touched your heart today? What's keeping you from responding to Him? Do you know someone that needs to be seen? This morning, I want to give you this opportunity. Right here, right now, in the quietness of this moment, I want to ask you, will you talk to the Lord? And would you just give Him thanks? Say, thank you, God, for seeing me just the way I am. Thank you, God, for seeing me.